Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. We are taking you all the way up to 6:30 tonight. And we got one final pair of Burt Kreischer tickets to give out at 4 o'clock today ahead of the Beltway Blitz. It's going to be a big show, including the triumphant return. People have been asking.
They've been clamoring.
For another ride. Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag.
Here we go. Yeah.
This is our version of Tony's Mailbag.
Yes, it is, yeah.
This is our version of an Ask Me Anything. We call it Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag. And the way it works is you guys get to have open lines, ask us anything on your mind, sports-wise, something you don't think's getting enough run or getting enough conversation. At 4:25 today in Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag, you will set the agenda. We've got a jingle for it and everything. Darris came up with a jingle for the G&DT Mailbag. We feel good about it. It sounds like this. Oh, we don't have it right now.
It doesn't sound like that.
There was a lot of smirking from Darris. I thought he was fired up and ready to go. But we'll play it for you later.
A couple things. Number one, happy haircut to Darris. Right? Big news around the station. Darris got a haircut for the first time in how long, buddy? More than a year?
Just a little under a year.
Right around a year.
It was getting crazy up there.
But the big reaction. When you change something, normally I get a haircut, no one notices except for Grant. Or like if I wore the one time I wore a hat, everyone was very upset. But like every room Darris is walking into, people are going nuts. It was amazing.
So if you had Darris's haircut in the office pool for the lead of the show today, you win.
I didn't have it.
That's where we started the show, I suppose. DeAndre Hopkins got cut by the Arizona Cardinals.
Expected, right?
Kind of, I guess. They couldn't get a trade done. Nobody wanted to take on his money, so they released him. Washington plays the Cardinals in week one. They don't have to deal with DeAndre Hopkins. Here's where I'm at on this. I got to be honest with you. They're going to dominate the Cardinals in the first week of the season. Arizona's terrible. The Cardinals are going to pick first in the draft. I think this team is horrible, and I think that their coach is going to be overmatched. And I believe for the second time in as many years, if you could handpick an opponent for the first week of the season, anybody in the league that you want to, Washington got the team that you would choose. I think the Cardinals are the worst team in the league on paper right now, and their best football player, if he was still on the roster, maybe the one guy capable of putting on a clinic and making some plays against you, is now gone. So as odd as it sounds, even if this was slightly expected, this is a good thing for week one for Washington and their schedule ahead because they begin with the Cardinals at home.
Agree with all that. This on paper right now is 32 out of 32, right? That's where people are, especially without Kyler Murray for, you know, TBD for exactly how long, but it's just not a good roster up and down at this point. Guys that they drafted highly, it's sort of hasn't really worked, or they've been out of position, or they can't really figure out what to do with them. This group should be, now again, this is the NFL, they're built on parity and there's surprise teams. We never consider a certain team that's going to be good, and here they are hanging out in December and into January, winning a playoff game or two. But right now on paper, I would say they're the worst team in the NFL.
$30.75 million was the cap hit for Hopkins this year.
Man.
He's still a good player. I think he can still help someone. You know what team I think he ends up with? Ryan and I were kicking around some teams before the show. I've settled on this. I think he becomes a New England Patriot. The Patriots have to add wide receiver help. He's got this weird rapport with Bill Belichick. Remember the relationship he and Belichick had? It was kind of this strange thing where there's just like a mutual respect between the two. And every time the Hopkins-led team plays the Belichick-led Patriots, they interact on the field and cameras catch it. And they're like, oh, these guys love each other.
He's like, I think you're really good. And you're really good.
I also saw a podcast recently where Hopkins said the quarterback he most wants to play with later in his career is Josh Allen. I don't know if Buffalo has an opening, but I guess it all comes down to how much money is he going to make this year, right? I mean, if he just signs on a one-year deal as a show-me contract to try to get some targets and catches and production after back-to-back years of sub-750 yards so he can get another big contract, then there's probably a lot of teams that are going to be in on his services, even though he's 30 and he's been in the league since 2013. But maybe he's looking to jump right back into a multi-year commitment and get as much money as possible right away. I don't know what his plan is.
I don't either. And, you could probably do one of those moves where if you're willing to accept less, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's all your prerogative, right? You could go to a pretty good situation. Like, he could be a Jet, for example. He could be a Kansas City Chief. They don't have a buzzsaw of a receiving core anymore. That would certainly make some sense. If you want to play with a great quarterback that's still got some juice left, you could go. I mean, again, you kind of write your own ticket, but if you want to do the Odell Beckham route where you get the most money possible, you may be playing for kind of a middling group or someone that's on the way up or, trying to make that kind of splash move to be better in the division. But there's a lot of teams that could use his skill set. He's not a number one anymore, but he's still pretty good, right? I don't think the explosion's there, but he's still just a master of that sideline footwork, the toe tap, great hands, more of a possession guy, but he could help some teams.
I got a dumb question for you.
All right.
Who would you rather be right now, this moment? The Miami Heat or the Boston Celtics?
The Miami Heat.
I think that's still got to be the answer because they're up 3-2.
But I see your point. You know what I mean? Like, I get it.
To say the Celtics have won the last two games doesn't really do it justice, does it? The Heat have been really bad. And as of last night now, in two consecutive games, the Celtics have been outstanding. And Boston has dominated them. I mean, the score last night, 13-point win for
not indicative the Celtics, of how the game was.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't tell you a single thing about that game. It was over at halftime. Frankly, it was over in the second quarter, it seemed like. But Miami's now dealing with injuries. Jimmy Butler's coming off of a 14-point performance in 35 minutes last night. I'd still rather be Miami, but not by a lot. And by the way, if they lose game six and it's 3-3.
Oh, man.
You're at risk of being the first team out of 151 teams to ever lose four straight and lose a series. The answer 48 minutes from now, if Boston wins again, is
Boston,
the Celtics. Yeah. And it's not close.
So in game four, the Heat had a 9-point lead kind of midway through the third quarter before Jason Tatum hit a couple back-to-back threes and sort of changed that game. Boston deserved to win. I'm not saying they didn't, but it wasn't as if Miami got the doors blown off like Boston did in game number three. But last night, start to finish, Boston looked like Boston, right? Where threes are falling, and when they hit threes, they're just so energized. Defensively, they're frantic and all over the place, and they bother you. They're not the same defensive juggernaut maybe they were last year, but they're still pretty good when they have that give a damn. And when they're knocking down threes the way that they were last night, they all feel good about themselves. You could tell when Marcus Smart gets into the act, Derek White, 6 out of 8, when their role guys are doing it and the studs are doing it too, they just feel like they can't be beat. And that's how they look.
Are we sleeping a little bit on the unpredictability of the NBA playoffs and maybe that they've just been great? Because not only do you have an 8 seed in Miami still hanging, that's obvious. Denver has a chance now to win a championship with Joker for the first time. That would be great. But game in and game out, even though a lot of these games are uncompetitive and become blowouts, you can't predict or call your shot here. Like I don't think I've ever had a worse feel before the start of a game than in this Eastern Conference final. If I was on FanDuel betting on each game, just on the money line, I might be 0-5 right now. And certainly betting the point spread, good luck. Last night, Miami was catching 8.5. I thought that was a layup. And, of course, not only did it not hit, but it was an air ball. Who can predict what's happening right now? Like, I think these two things have to be equal, right? If we have no idea when the game tips off what's going to happen, you can't tell me that these playoffs haven't been great.
That's a great point. I mean, it sounds funny to say that parity is reigning when a number one seed with the second best record in the NBA is already waiting in the finals in Denver. But we all know that it's true. They were toe-to-toe with a seven seed, and a lot of people thought that Phoenix, when right, a four seed, was going to be the better team. And who knows what would happen if Chris Paul wasn't banged up. I still think Denver wins because they've been great. But, I mean, I think you follow me. The one seed in the East got beat by the aforementioned Miami Heat. Philadelphia, I think, had control of that series until Jason Tatum went ham sandwich with a couple minutes to go in game number six. So it has been up and down. It's actually been really fun. It's not what you're used to with the NBA, I think, which I think is probably good for it. You're right in the sense that some of the games, when you start to do a deep dive, haven't been as competitive as you would like. It's not like every game goes to overtime like the NHL does. And some of the series end up being kind of lopsided. But still, it's been pretty compelling in that it's, oh, really, it's the guy with the superstar against the other super team in the finals? Cool. We've got some parity here, and it's fun.
We've also got some local news and a development on the sale of the Commanders via Forbes today. A little bit unsettling, but I would still caution people not to worry too much. This is via Mike Ozanian, who's had a couple of big stories throughout the process here on the Snyder sale to Josh Harris. I'll just read the nut graph here from Forbes. The NFL Finance Committee is unlikely to vote in favor of the $6.05 billion purchase of the Washington Commanders from Daniel Snyder by a group led by Josh Harris because of the way the financing is constituted, according to NFL owners who spoke to Forbes on the condition of anonymity. Some of the league owners are concerned that as the deal currently stands, Harris's group would finance the purchase with a down payment of $5.85 billion. That would include, and here's the important part, about $3.75 billion of equity, $1.1 billion of secured debt, and $1 billion of unsecured debt. In addition, Snyder would get 50% of the incremental increase in the Commanders' gross revenue over the subsequent 2 years that are going to be paid out as the team accrues that cash flow. Danny, it sounds like there are owners that don't like the way this is set up. There are some other questions which we've talked about the number of investors. You're not allowed to have more than 25. The Commanders sale, even though the number has been in the teens, might actually have more people involved than that because, it might say that Danny Ruye is one of the investors, but there's four or five Ruyes that are involved in that group. And if you add them all up, you're in the mid-20s.
So this story is now reporting that there are 24 limited partners when you add all the investors up, more than that 17 number we've heard. And it's actually saying that it's way more than that because, as you mentioned, Grant Paulson stands for the Paulson family, which can be 2, 3, 5, 10 people, whatever. So they're kind of...
Maybe Ryan, Sean, and Nicole are in the mix.
They entirely possible, given the Paulson fortune. So it is a bit... Impasse isn't the right word. I still think of this as a bit of a staring contest or... an attempt where the league is going, please, come on, would you mind tweaking it how we want it? And Harris saying, no, I'm going to stand fast. I've already got it. You guys want Snyder gone. I'm giving that to you. Let's get this thing on the road.
Every time I see a story like this, my initial response is, oh, no, these poor Commanders fans. Because I know their reaction is going to be to fret and to fear and to be nervous. Your boy is going to remain very calm. This sale is happening. It's going to go through. Maybe they've got to tweak some things. Maybe there are some nuances that need to be ironed out. There's a couple of wrinkles on this shirt, but I got myself a steamer, okay? What do they call those things? You can buy them. You can hang and steam things. Is it just a steamer?
Just a steamer.
That's all it is. I got one. I'm going to get rid of these wrinkles with this steamer. But I actually thought it would be an interesting convo to pose and to try to just get people's thoughts on, as stories like this come out, that there are owners that don't like the structure. There are people who think there are too many minority investors from a sheer financial standpoint. Things have to be changed to get this over the finish line. The headline here, exclusive to Forbes, Josh Harris's group needs to change financing to get approval to buy the Commanders. When you hear this, does it draw your ire or raise your concern? Because it goes without saying, it's not a great look. I mean, you would rather this not be the case. Mm-hmm. Like in every other sale previously, there's just a person who's got money, who comes and throws it on the table and says, I'm here to buy a team. And that's not really what's happening here.
There, I read a book years ago called The Hardest Job in the World. It's about the American presidency. And I can't remember which president it was, but he talked about the challenge of doing one thing for months and months and months and months, which is making yourself electable, making yourself the person that everybody votes for, making yourself the person that gets elected. Then, when you get the job, it's not what you're doing anymore. You now have to govern. And that's kind of what I think of here, right, is with Harris & Company, the thing that I've been worried about, Daniel, I think it was Daniel Kaplan in his piece, mentioned an owner that had these reservations, and the thing that I'm talking about, this is supposed to be the easier part. The hard part is, where's the stadium going to be? Can you spend the hundreds of millions to make the facility worth the damn? Can you bring this thing up to code? Can you make this an organization that's not an embarrassment anymore? Can you spend all the money that's going to be needed to win the fans back? And the way it looks like they're stretching and bending every rule. For example, they're part of these, the way this deal is structured is they're going to send half the profits to Snyder for 2 years. Half of any money they make is going to Dan Snyder for 2 years. Snyder's party thinks it's up to $400 million that he's going to end up getting or splitting over the next couple of seasons plus. That's all included in the deal. They're barely eking this thing over the finish line. And then, conservatively, you need a couple $1 billion just to get started and do all the things that are needed. So I still feel like if I had to bet, the deal gets done because there's too much will from the owners to not have to go back to Snyder. And nobody else was serious. I don't think Postolopoulos was serious. I'm pretty darn sure Brian Davis wasn't. So nobody else is around. It's this or bust. They're not going to bust. It's still concerning, though. Just, again, looking at the structure, looking at all the different intricacies, and looking what's needed day one to start getting this thing right. I mean, we're running out of time. Hurry up and get it done so that you can start to make some of the changes that are needed.
Forgetting that. I don't think people should be nervous, and I think this is going to happen for a second. We'll come back to that in a moment. I did see some people on social media suggesting, hey, I know we all want Dan out of here, but the structure of this deal is a little bit worrisome, and you know this is not normal, and that's for a reason, right? As if to say, like, maybe this isn't the best situation. And to that I would say, is it completely ideal? No, not necessarily. But number one, it is going to be the norm. And it is going to be probably what becomes more ideal when we see what these other teams start being bought for. Because there's just not rich enough people to do this the old-fashioned way. David Tepper, at $2 billion, can buy the Carolina Panthers the way he did. Very, very different than someone trying to buy this team now for over $6 billion. Right. That's number one. But back to the original point of, should people be concerned? Should people be nervous? I go to the very bottom of this story by Mike Ozanian and Forbes. There was a plethora of different points where he cites a source or an unnamed owner or what have you, and they suggest or say, hey, this is not ideal. This is not good. I'm paraphrasing, but they're going to have to change something. You know, we don't do deals like this for a reason, right? That's the gist, the tone of it. Here's the last line in the Forbes story. One NFL owner told Forbes, the Harris Group has a combined net worth of $50 billion, so they should have the equity to do it. I rest my case. They got $50 billion worth of dudes in this group. They're going to figure this out. Do they want the team or they don't? I think this is a negotiation. I think we're seeing a public back and forth, basically. They're Carl haggling over what the final number is going to be. But this group, in totality, is worth over $50 billion. If they want this team, they're going to get this team. And I just think that they want this team. But here's the question for you guys on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Next at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What is your level of concern over the Harris Group and the purchase right now? I'll tell you, I'll just bury the lead. I'm a one. I know Danny's going to be higher than me on the scale, but I'm not worried at all. But I do want to see where you guys are at on this after another story that comes out saying, by the way, the owners probably aren't going to ratify unless some things change about this purchase. Again, 1 to 10, your level of concern, 800-636-1067. Danny, you started the show by referencing Darius's haircut.
Yeah.
He got a brand new haircut. While we were talking, another member of our staff,
I'm telling you,
one of the producers at another radio station in this building, doesn't even work for 106.7 The Fan,
wow,
walked into the studio Notice Darius's hair. I saw a big reaction.
I'm telling you, it's a huge
deal. There was high-fiving. Ace dapped up Ryan for some reason. I'm not really sure how that worked
Congratulated Ryan because he was in the room too.
But I think you're onto something. With all due respect to this Harris development and the Hopkins release and some of the other things we'll be talking about today, Darius got a haircut.
Darius got a haircut, you guys.
Darius got a haircut.
Is Heisty ready for breaking news? I mean, we've already said the news, but like we should do an official thing that Darius got a haircut.
Can you play some a breaking news sounder for me, actually? Let me see who sponsors our breaking news here. Yeah.
There it is. Yep.
Should I throw to Heisty? Is he in the update desk?
Looks like he's not.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got urgent and breaking and important news here on 106.7 The Fan. This is the news you've all been waiting for. It is brought to you by Beat the Streak for tips to win $5.6 million prize. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Darius Dameron got a haircut.
Wow.
Haircut, man.
We didn't expect it. Like this D-Hop news, we thought that's going to be a thing. By the way, I was too casual with the D-Hop there. I'll go DeAndre Hopkins.
He walked into the studio while we were all kind of already sitting and just like bantering about something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just like thought he would just walk in like, oh, nothing will happen.
Darius is here.
All my hair's gone. Darius got a haircut.
Darius got a haircut. The whole station's a buzz.
You guys can tweet that out if you want. Hashtag Darius got a haircut. All right. 1 to 10. Level of concern over the Harris purchase. That's the question on Grant and Danny. He's Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. A chance for you today at 4 o'clock to win tickets to go see Bert Kreischer. You got to be listening. The big story in D.C. sports on the sale of the Commanders today came from Mike Ozanian of Forbes. Josh Harris's group has to change financing to win NFL approval to buy the team. We're asking you with another development here, again, where... This week we had an owner, Jim Irsay, come out and make it seem like, hey, some things have to change. This isn't going to go through. Are you worried at all? Are you concerned? What is your level of concern, 1 to 10, on this Harris deal being ratified by the owners and by the league and the finance committee? 800-636-1067. I'm not 1 out of 10 for me. I think their biggest priority is getting rid of Dan Snyder and all the other stuff is secondary. So they have a chance to do that. He is gone, and all they have to do is just say, we'll figure this out with you, Josh, and they never have to worry about Dan again, and I think they're going to do that. On top of that, this collection of people is so rich. They have so much money. They've got plenty of money to make it work. They might need to move some things around from one account to another. Maybe someone has to give a little more money than they thought they would. You've run 20... How long's a marathon? 26.2?
26.2, yeah.
You've run 26.1 miles here. My guess is you're not going to stop when the going gets tough and you see the finish line and turn around. I think we're going to get this thing done. I'm not going to worry.
So I ultimately do too, but I guess the thing I've pushed back on, not just with you, but with anybody and everybody, is just this, it's over, it's it. It's always been this like assumption to skip to the end. And my point all along has been, this is outrageously complicated. Now, the biggest complication was a malevolent tyrant who is an unpredictable actor. That guy got out of the way. Okay, he signed. He can't. There's no take backs. So that's the biggest obstacle. The second biggest is this part of it, is this asking price, the structure of this thing. So we had Daniel Kaplan on, I think it's who it was, from The Athletic, who does a lot of sports business reporting and the like. I think one of the days that you were out. And one of the things I said was, there's a thought where people go, well, these guys are so rich. And he said, well, that's not really how these things work. And what he meant was, that you've already, you and me are going to buy, you know, name a team or whatever, and I'm the lead investor, and I go to Darius, I go to Ryan, I go to you. Hey, guys, this is what I think it's going to take, X hundred millions of dollars, whatever. You go, great, awesome, and I can expect my returns when? As soon as I own the team? Great, awesome, terrific. It's not really good form, and it's not really done where I go, hey, by the way, here's a quick capital call. It turns out that what I told you is wrong. You need another several hundred million dollars. Just because you can doesn't mean you want to. That also changes the percentage of what Josh Harris would then own, right? So if he's at the minimum, which is 30%, and you're upping your bid by, not your bid, but your contribution by 50, 60, 70, another $150 million, just I'm throwing numbers out there. Well, now that changes my 30%. The risk factor is, or the problem is, Josh Harris can't get any more. He's borrowing against stuff. He's got secured debt against the collateral of his other teams that he owns, unsecured debt, which is just sort of like money he's going to owe Dan over the first couple of years.
Right.
He's going to sell the Ashburn land and then hopefully have them rent it back to him so they can still have football practices. Like, he's at the end. His rich partners are rich, but there's a limit and there are rules that sort of govern these sorts of things. And there's normalcy. My worry isn't that this isn't going to get done ultimately. I do think they pushed over the finish line. My worry is Josh Harris is totally tapped just to get control of this thing, and so much needs to be done with so many billions of dollars right away. That's the part that I'm worried about. So is there concern here? Yes. So give me a 4, maybe 4.5. I can even nudge it to 5 after enough coffee.
Ooh. So we'll agree on the extremely complicated part. You know, that's something I've been very careful to mention every step of the way. That's why it's going to take time. You know, there's so much vetting happening, and it is the most complicated purchase in league history, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
It is a real thorough process, and it's just going to be time-consuming. There's no other way to say it. So, yeah, I'll co-sign on that. Kaplan, I guess it was, who was on the show?
I think that's who it was, yeah.
He's smarter than I am. I would defer to him. It probably doesn't work quite that way, except that I would just say, this is how life works. I have a contractor come to my basement to help me build a room, and they estimate that something's going to cost $5,000, and then they show up and they say, oh, actually, the framing on the window is something different than I thought. Actually, you need a couple more outlets. Actually, we need to put this encasing on this thing. Now it's $6,500. So we're up 20% of what I was told, or $7,500, or you know, whatever it is.
Right.
And that's how this goes. So buy a house. Like, it's the same thing. Hey, we thought it was going to be this. Now it's this. When I say that how much all these guys are worth matters, it's because if they want something and they've got $50 billion, then this $6 billion entity will eventually probably be theirs. Your point on the percentage he owns is really, I think, smart and interesting. You know, I don't know how to work around that, but maybe it's they loan Harris money directly that he now uses as his own to pay, and on the back end he gives it back to him. I would imagine there's all kinds of accounting things that they can do. But this league wants out of the Dan Snyder business.
Yeah, that's the most selling point.
They are now out of the Dan Snyder business if they just figure out a way. And if they have to change some rules and finagle some things, I think they're going to, which is why my number is such a low number. Let's go to Kendall and Brandywine on G&D. What's your level of concern?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
I'm at a 0, man. We don't care what's going on back there making the sausage. We just know it tastes good when it come out of the kitchen. So this is just normal business transactions. No transactions going to happen where you say, all right, you want it? Here's what it costs. Great. And a sign, bam, we're done. It's always this thing. So we don't even really need to know this on a day-to-day basis. Call me when it's sold. Well, call me when he's actually taking complete ownership. But it's going to happen, 1,000%.
I think I'm Team Kendall mostly. Like, we're not getting this many updates and this type of nuance on normal sales. Would you agree with that?
That's right.
Now, this one is more complicated for the reasons that Danny just referenced. But that doesn't change the fact that, like, when the Waltons, the Walmart heirs, were buying the Broncos last time, a lot of this kind of negotiating and these spats that they were having over this number or this agreement, that all happened in anonymity and privacy behind closed doors, and all of it is coming out this time because this is such a unique situation. Marks in Largo, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Danny, I kind of agree with you. Here's the scary part, man. You know, has it ever dawned on anybody that maybe Dan set this whole daggone thing up? And let me follow me on this, guys. Follow me on what I'm about to say here. Dan could have sold this team outright to Bezos, straight up. No problem, had everything going, everything, but he complained. Bezos, the league wanted it, everybody wanted it, we all wanted Bezos. But it's funny how I'm imagining Dan looked at Josh Harris's record and knows that Josh Harris has probably a stubbornness that he will go, that he will do this and do that, and this is as far as he'll take it. And he set this whole thing up. Now, here's the flip side. This could backfire on Snyder. One of two things could happen. A, Danny, we get what we had in 98, where if Josh has, even though we got a lot of investors, Grant, they may have come on board because of Magic or Rails. Now, if either one of them decides to step up and they lose some of the investors, maybe the investors put up more money. That's one thing. That's one way. The other way is Jeff Bezos. And
so, yeah, Bezos part of this is interesting. The only thing I'll say to number one, that Mark's conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I don't get to what end for Snyder.
So he could keep the team. I guess he's saying, in the end, this falls apart, and then Dan says, I tried to sell it, and he comes back, and he keeps the team.
Oh, God.
No, I haven't thought about that, and I think it's like a horror movie that isn't real. Having said that, the problem with his theory, he could have just sold it to Bezos, and it would have been over. Bezos never tried to buy the team, to our knowledge now. That was kind of the reporting. He did some legwork. He hired someone. He looked into it. He looked at the financials.
Hired Allen & Company.
Exactly. Yeah. I think he even got to see the books. And was not ever engaged in the process. Who was the reporter from Puck News that we had on a couple times who had all the Bezos info? Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Yep, Teddy.
Teddy Schleifer.
Yes.
That was the guy's name. So if you go back and read his reporting, like, it doesn't appear like Bezos actually got in, certainly never bid. So it's not like Dan said, oh, I'm not taking your $6 billion. We didn't get that far.
Well, go back to you mentioned the Denver sale real quick. The mistake, and I put this in quotes, that they made was the Waltons got involved early, and that scared everyone else away. In other words, no one was going to outbid the Walton family, whichever Walton got. I can't remember which. They're two of the 20 richest people in the country, maybe in the world. They were going to get it. The Harris Group, anybody else was not going to outbid those guys. So as soon as they got in, they got it for a, quote, lesser price than maybe it could have gone for if it was a true, more open auction. I think Snyder's Bank of America were going, if Bezos gets involved, if he's involved early, no one else is bidding. It's just his. And we'll only get, you know, 4.6 or 4.7. Again, I say only. It's all relative. So they did this arm's length thing. And then later on, we're like, no, he's more than welcome to bid once they got those other bids in around 6.
I'm oversimplifying the two camps here. But Team Danny is basically, this seems scary and I'm nervous, right?
Mm-hmm.
My side of this is more, this is normal business, and we're finding out about all of it when really, typically, we know that someone bought the team, and then we hear that it's all final. And every other step is just kind of noise. But where do you come in? Are you growing in your trepidation that Harris is going to drive the car across the finish line? The exclusive report today via Forbes and Mike Ozanian that Harris's group needs to change some financing for the NFL to approve them to buy the Commanders. Also, there was a story in sports. It came and it went a couple weeks ago. I wanted to talk about it. We never did. I'll only take a minute, but I do have a take, and I just want to make sure that I get on the record on this because it was super annoying to me. So I want to do that next. G&D on the Fan. So I saw this story a little while ago. It was actually back on May 12th, 2 weeks ago today that I saw it. And I put it on a list of things I wanted to get to on the show. A bunch of stuff happened. We haven't had a chance to. And then last night I realized I never mentioned this. I'll never get to it if I don't bring it up tomorrow.
So you got
to
do it.
Got to do it. Did you see that Mark Jackson forgot to put Nikola Jokic on his MVP ballot?
I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, so he...
So here's what happened.
Yeah.
So the ballots come out. You don't know who's who, right? Unlike in other sports where someone, like, publicly collects all the information. Basically, we know who got first, second, third place votes, what have you. But there's not names on all the ballots. And so what took place was, one of the ballots did not have Nikola Jokic, arguably the best player in the NBA this year, and certainly over the last 3 years. He's won the last two MVP awards. One of the ballots didn't have him at all. And everyone kind of thought, it became a huge story because the thought was, how could this person watch and cover the NBA to the extent that they get a vote and not think Jokic deserves this? Like, doesn't give Joker one of the at least, like, let's say you put Embiid first.
Like, worst he could be third because you're a hipster.
What are you doing? It seemed as if this person just forgot that he existed. It turns out it was Mark Jackson, who's the TV personality for ESPN and ABC, who I actually really like on TV, the former head coach of the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. Hand down, man down. Like that guy, right? So he went on NBA radio and admitted that it was him. I don't know if someone found out it was him first or if he came out and just admitted it. He said, one thing I live by, you make a mistake, you own it. I'm not a guy that does it for clicks or to be trending. Absolute mistake made by me. You can tell I probably am thinking, how did I make that mistake? You can tell I put one center, two forwards, and two guards, so I wasn't even thinking. I apologize to the Denver Nuggets. I apologize to Nikola Jokic, who is not only an MVP discussion and deserved to be on my ballot, but he's one of the greatest players in the history of the game, top 10 center of all time, and he gives him his deserved love, obviously. Mm-hmm. Whatever. He goes on to say, Jackson goes on to say, basically, hey, this was a huge mistake, and if people want to take away my vote, they can. And my point is, he should never be allowed to vote again. I like Mark Jackson. Again, I think he does a good job. That is so unacceptable. Like, this stuff matters so much. Mm-hmm. So either you really rushed and just didn't take it seriously, or you didn't quite know the rules with how many positions and how many players can be on the ballot. He did it like, you know, first-team All-NBA style with positions. It's a mistake, and I like that he admitted to it and apologized, and all that's classy. You've now lost the privilege to ever do this again, as far as I'm concerned. Like, you can't make that mistake. This is important. This matters. Players get contracts, and you're available for, like, the super-duper-uper-duper max if you're on certain teams. Like, the NBA, actually, it'd be like if you were an MVP and you were now eligible for more money to mm-hmm. stay on in a city, right? Players do get raises and escalators in their contract based on where they finish in balloting and voting and things like that. I wanted to go on record and say, like, something like that, it's not just, oh, you screwed up, my bad. No. He should never be allowed to vote again, or at least be suspended for multiple years, as far as I'm concerned, because this is something that if the media gets the right to do this, we have to take it seriously. The reason I think it's better to have media members who cover the sport do it is theoretically there's less biases. Players are playing, not watching. You know, the game respects game, and their buddies, or they're texting, or they used to play with someone. Like, the best way to do it is to have quote-unquote media or panels do this. But, like, it's not a three strikes and you're out policy for me. That's such an egregious mistake. Sorry about it. You don't get to vote anymore.
I really appreciate his contrition. I genuinely do. I'm not just saying that.
100%
agree. That is awesome. But I actually am in lockstep with you. I thought you're usually forgiveness, Freddie. For me, it's like there are certain things that are just so not okay. And this isn't like a real crime, but in terms of sports, it's a sports crime where I can't get past it. Like, I think of this with Major League Baseball Hall of Fame voters all the time, where they've decided that one clause they interpreted a certain way, and that's now gospel until they're cold and dead in the ground. So the best players ever are not in the Hall of Fame, even though this morals clause that they love to bring up. There are racists, spousal abusers, drug abusers, all sorts of people that made it by. That's not the right kind of moral, though. It's this one period of time where they took a certain kind of drug, allegedly, that bothers you. Anyway, I think those people should be stripped immediately. It's too important to have this right for our kinds of discussion.
Yeah, I don't think he should be fired. It doesn't change how I feel about him.
I still like him. I'm with you.
He's in the running for a head coaching job. He's interviewing this offseason. Like, all of those things are deserving, and I'll watch him and enjoy his commentary. It's just that you had you were bestowed this honor of being able to vote for the MVP award, and you have proven yourself, in my opinion, not capable of doing so. So whether you do what I would do and just take his vote away completely moving forward, or suspend him for a couple of years where he doesn't get to vote, either way, there should be a huge punishment for that. I just wanted to get that out there because it was something I kept wanting to talk about, and for whatever reason we weren't getting to on the show. Let's go to Josh in Upper Marlboro. Are you worried at all about the Harris Group?
I am not that worried, guys. I'm probably about a 1.5, and only add the 0.5 because we just can't have anything nice with this team. All of our milkshakes turn to curdled cottage cheese, and so it just makes me a little nervous on probably a slightly more important matter. In my view, Darius's haircut is actually a very big deal.
Yes.
I am sure that my man looks smooth and suave and even aerodynamic, and it's an exciting development for a lot of us. But from the perspective of the show, I have a question for you guys. Can we call this big news since Danny is actually live and in studio for it? I think the answer is no.
Oh, interesting.
But we'd just like you guys' perspective. Yeah,
it's a great question.
It's a fair question, Josh. Gosh.
It's probably not huge news then. It's just a nice development.
But can I push back a little bit here?
Yeah.
I was sitting at Old Ox Brewery on the radio when the Dan Snyder sale news happened. Like, I was here for breaking news.
The point.
Doesn't that count?
No. The point has never been that no news breaks when you're here.
Oh.
The point has always been when you're not here, news breaks. That's all. So I guess it could
be. Oh, I see the distinction.
But by that
yeah.
argument, like, this could be a huge news because you're here all the time for
right.
news. It's just that it is a certainty when you're not here, news will break.
When I'm out, something big happens. I get it.
Paul's in the district. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, what's up? I'm kind of like a 4 or 5, but this is why the fans wanted Jeff Bezos or someone
yep.
Elon Musk or someone to bid on the team, because you know you don't have to go through all of these shenanigans, and then on top of that, where the money gonna come from for the stadium? He probably wouldn't even have to petition the city. He'll have the money out of pocket to build his own stadium or what have you. But with that being said, is that a 5? Because if push come to shove, I think Josh Harris with the Devils and the 76ers, if he really wants the Commanders, he'll sell one of those teams and get the money that he needs.
See, I wonder about that. Mm. And something we could talk about another time maybe is, would he be willing perhaps to get out of the NHL or NBA games to get into the NFL? I think that's an interesting question. Also, I'm really curious. I wonder if Harris got a haircut. Because Darius did. But what about Harris?
We can only assume.
We have to assume he got a haircut.
Yep.
Probably even yesterday or today,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The new president of basketball operations who's going to be running the Wizards gave his first public opinions on Bradley Beal. You guys might want to hear what he thinks about old Beal next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.